we're holding on to some Hey Umud Bey's nine lines from the bottom. We learned yesterday about what happens if there's one aid for Kiddushin. We said the majority of Amiroim said that there's no Kiddushin. There's not even anything to be choshish for Kiddushin every year. We talked about what happens if both the man and the woman agree that there was Kiddushin. Nevertheless, we still said, according to most opinions, there's no Kiddushin. So now we're going to talk more about this matter of one aid and when we accept what one aid is saying and when not. So we're going to be talking about primarily the first part of the Gemara over here. We're going to be talking about where one aid says something and the person he's saying aidus about doesn't answer back. So then we say that we believe that one aid. There's a number of opinions in Rishonim. What exactly makes that aid believable? Rashi and Tosfos over here explain shtika kaida, basically. But that would require, Tosfos says, that it has to be that the person has some way of knowing that what the aid is that he would have some way of knowing beforehand that this that the aid is telling him now was in fact the case. For example, we're going to talk about now, the aid tells him, you ate chalev. We'd have to be talking about where he had some way of knowing beforehand that in fact this was chalev. So now when the aid tells him that it was in fact chalev and you ate it and he doesn't say anything, then that's shtika kaida, as opposed to, in other words, if it was something where he would have had no way of knowing beforehand, then not necessarily. Tosfos elsewhere gives a different explanation that only when raglayim modaver, the Ramban holds that it doesn't even mean he has to be quiet. It just means that he doesn't openly contradict him. And then the Ran says that again that, that he says basically it's gzeiras hakosev that one aid is believed in such cases. And unlike Tosfos, he's saying that that would be the case even if he's quiet because he doesn't know. In fact, he himself doesn't know. Not like Tosfos says, where it would be something where he himself could have known, and therefore shtika kaida. So various approaches to the following subject. So Amar Abaye, Amar loy eid echad achal techelev. If a person is told by one aid, you ate chelev, and that was b'shergig, in other words, so you chayev chatas, v'halosh shosik, and the guy is quiet and doesn't contradict him, neman, then we believe that aid, because again, whether shesika kaidah or whether any of the other reasons that we said. In fact, Tosfos refers to now. If you have two edim that tell him, even then you actually have machlokas in a Mishnah in Krisus. What happens if two edim tell him you ate chaylev and you chayev a korban, but he contradicts them and said I didn't? So you have machlokas tanoim over there. Whether he on the face of it, two edim of course should make him chayev and a korban. They could even make him chayev misa if it was something that was chayev misa. On the other hand, though, the Gemara points out over there that He could say in fact I did it b'mezid rather than b'shogeg, and that would patter him from a korban. So in that way, he's not directly contradicting the edim. But here we're talking about it's not two edim; it's only one. So Abaye says that he is that. So even though he's quiet, so even though he's quiet, so because he's quiet, we do believe that aid. The Tana Tuna, and in fact, our Tana taught this in that Mishnah, omale eid echad achal techelev, where if one aid says you ate chelev, v'ala oimel lo yachalti, and the other guy contradicts him and says I didn't eat potter, then he's potter. And again, you have the machlokas, what happens if it was two aidim? So Abaye says you can deduce from that Mishnah, taima de omale lo yachalti. Why is he potter? Only because he says against the aid, I didn't eat. Ha ishtik, implying that if he was quiet, mehemah, then we would believe that aid. So here we have an example where one aid is believed. Now Tosfos discusses. I mean, we have many cases in halacha where we say aid echad neman b'isurin. We're going to bring one of them now in the Gemara. But one thing is, Tosfos discusses that can be where the one aid would be to be matir something. For example, when you how is it? For example, if you visit somebody's house and he offers you some food, how is it that you can trust his kashrus? On the face of it, shouldn't you ask to see the hechsher on everything he's serving you? No, because eid echad neman b'isurin. And you have many other examples of how can a husband believe his wife when she says that when she says that she's nida versus when she says that she went to the mikveh is another example of eda chonem and bisurin. But those are all to be matur something. Here Abaye is adding that also the aid has the ability to say that, that's actually going to be the next thing over here, that one aid also has the ability to say that something is also, and in the first case that Abaye is saying, the one aid has the power to tell him, you committed an isser, and we have to believe. So that was again. Abaye says where he doesn't contradict the one aid. If he contradicts him, then we say we don't listen to that aid. And then if there are two aidim, then you have that machlokas in the Mishnah and Krisus. V'omer Abaye, and Abaye says another din involving one aid. Omalei aid echad nitmu tari secha. If one aid tells him, if one aid tells him your taharis, things of truma that you the food of yours of truma that was supposed to say tahar, and once it becomes tame, you can't eat it. If one aid tells him those became tame, the halos shoysik, and the owner of the food is quiet and doesn't contradict him, neman, then also we believe the aid, the tana tuna, and again Abaye says you have a tana in a Mishnah that said something from which we can learn that din. Mishnah says, "Aid echad omer nitmu, v'Allah omer loy nitmu." If one aid says your taharis became tame, and the guy contradicts him and says they didn't, potter, or really tahar, is that what it's supposed to say? Then, in fact, we consider the food to be tahar. So again, taima de omer loy. So only because he contradicts the aid, do we say that we don't believe the aid? Ha ishtik. Meheman, but if they're implying that if he's quiet, we do believe the aid. So here also Tosfos points out that also when we generally talk now, we talk about in many places that aid echad neman bisurin. So we said before, first of all, that's we believe him to say that it's mutter, but here in addition, Tosfos points out you also have the whole matter of biyodai. You have we learned this in Gittin, we had a sugya on this subject in Gittin, that it depends whether it's biyodai, does the other person actually have the capability now of making what he said come true? So he's saying nitmu tare secha. So is it in fact something that he's capable now of making those taris tome if he wanted to because he's working with them, or are we talking about something that he's telling him in the past? So in fact, we learned in Gittin over there, we had machlokas Abaye and Rabba about what happens when he tells him that I worked with you on such and such a day and the taris became tome. So Tosfos ends up saying that actually, really, you have three different possibilities over here. You have something that was biyadai. So then Neman, then we would believe the aid even if the guy wasn't quiet. Even if he contradicts him because it is biyadai. If it was never biyadai, for example, Rabbi's first case where he tells him you ate chaylev, it's not biyadai to make the other guy eat chaylev. Or another example that Abaye is going to give now, another din, shorchan nirba. Then it would depend whether he's quiet or not. And then you have something which is not biyadai now, but it was biyadai beforehand, and that's where you have the sugya in Gittin, and that's you have a machlokas Abaye and Rava whether we would believe him or not. And then Tosfos goes on to discuss more details of this whole topic. So for Omer Abaye, then Abaye says another din regarding one aid. Omeloi aid echad shurchan nirba. If one aid says to a person, "Your shur was used for bestiality," now Rashi points out we're not talking about as far as whether now that shur is going to require skila. For that, no question, you need two aidim. You have a concept the Gemara mentions elsewhere, k'misas ha-bailim kach misas ha-shur. The same way as you need two edim for a person to be executed for an avera, the same way you need two edim for an animal to be executed. So here the question is, where the guy is saying shur chanirba, the result, if true, would be that the animal is posel for a korban. Ba'alosh shoysik, and the owner of the animal is quiet, then again, neman, then that one aid is believed, the Tana Tuna, and he also, Abaye says, I have a Mishnah that bears out this point. Because a Mishnah describes among the types of animals that you can't bring as korbanos, v'shenev de boy avera, where an avera was done with it, namely exactly that it was used for bestiality, v'shehemis al pi edechad or al pi abaylim, or if it killed, or v'shehemis, or that it killed somebody. And in both cases, al pi edechad or al pi abaylim, either way, we know that that happened based on one aid or based on the owner of the animal himself admitting it. So then Naaman, and the Mishnah says that we believe that. So Abaya says we have to figure out. What exactly is the scenario of Alpiedechon? Do we mean the one aid says you're sure was nearby or you're sure killed somebody, and the owner agrees that's true? Well, then Hainu Alpiabailim. Then the Mishnah doesn't have to mention it separately. Then you have there's the fact that the owner himself admitted. Ella lav de shosit. So therefore, necessarily, the Mishnah must be talking about where the owner doesn't say anything. So maybe as Tosfos discussed before, are we talking about where the owner himself could have known? It's something that he could have known. He just didn't know yet. And now, when he's being quiet, then we can say shesika kodah. Or are we talking about, again, like we said before, you have different rishonim that learn that maybe even we're talking about a case where he couldn't have known, but nevertheless, him being shosik. Since he didn't contradict the aid, then therefore what the aid says stands. Okay. So we've had three dinim that Abaya says. So now the question is, why does Abaya have to say all these? So again, let's review. We had Abaya's first din was when one aid tells him you ate chalev. The second din was where one aid tells him your taharis became tameh, and the third one where he tells him your ox was nirva. So why does Abaye have to give all three of these cases? So it's tzricha. We need all of them. If Abaye told us only the first one about where he says you ate chalev, you would say, you know why? When the owner is quiet, then we believe the aid. We would say because we can say the person himself that the aid is speaking to, if he himself didn't know in actuality that he ate this chalev, then he wouldn't bring chulin into the azara. We learned in the previous perek about there's an iser to shecht any chulin animal in the azara. We discussed over there whether it's daraisa or darabanan. So therefore now, if he's bringing a chatas and he's not really required to bring one, then that would be chulin ba'azara. So we can assume, maybe, we would say, because the aid tells him, you ate chalev, when he's being quiet, and then we're saying that he actually goes and brings a chatas, why would he be bringing a chatas unless he actually knows deep down that he really did do it? So therefore, you can say that, over there, one aid is believed, and unless he actually contradicts the aid, then we're going to believe him, and he's going to bring a korban. But when it comes to when the aid tells him your taharis became tameh, you could say, we might think, you know why he's quiet. Doesn't mean necessarily that he's agreeing with the aid. Let's say we're not talking about truma. Fine. If it was truma, then it's true once it became tameh, he wouldn't be able to eat it. So rather, Tare secha would mean chulin food that you were keeping tahor. And now this one aid comes and tells him he becomes tamei. Nu, the owner may be quiet because he figures big deal. It's chulin food after all. I'll be able to eat it when I myself am tamei. When I myself am tahor, I'm not going to want to eat it because then I'll become tamei by Xeda Dirabanan, one of the Xedas of the Yud Ches Dover. But when I'm tamei anyhow, I might as well. So therefore, in other words, so it's not necessarily by being quiet, he's not necessarily agreeing with what the aid says. He may just be figuring, I may as well go along with what he says, even though I don't agree that it actually happened. So therefore, so Abaye has to tell us that even in this case, we actually believe the aid and we say that food is objectively considered tamei. The Iyashmin and Ha. On the other hand, if Abaye had only told us that case involving the food that became Tomei, you would say, you know why we say Shsika Koida, Mishum become Mafsidle? Because after all, he is becoming Mishum become Mafsidle, Bimei Tarasai. Because he is losing out. Now he can't eat that food in the time of his Tara. Abel showed a nearby, but when it comes to the third case that Abaye says, where his ox was, where his ox was used for bestiality, he might say that you know why he's being quiet. He may think to himself, look, all it's not like all oxen are going to be brought as korbanos anyway. This guy is saying shodi nearby, big deal. I'm not really losing anything by it. So therefore, tzricha. Therefore, Abaye needs to tell us in all these cases. Even in the case of the ox, that we do believe the aid, and therefore this animal is in fact possible. We shouldn't think, let's say, the guy was quiet. It just means we ignore what the aid says, and the guy just figures, okay, yeah, you know, he's saying something, big deal. It doesn't really affect me. No, we're saying we actually believe him, and that ox becomes possible to bring as a korban. Okay, now, of course, you could say maybe Abaye could have said that his din only by the ox, and we would have learned the other two from it, but fine. First of all, we don't necessarily learn things of cholin from kodshim, and besides that, it might be that Abaye said them in this order, and therefore each one is a greater chiddush over the previous one. Okay, here's another issue of Eid Echad. Iboilahu, we have the question. Ishto zinsa be'eid echad. Suppose that a husband finds out through one aid that his wife was mezana. So here also we have, so Abaye had his various cases over here with one aid. Here similarly, an aid says to a person, your wife was mezana, berotzen, or if it's a koyin, then it doesn't really matter whether it was berotzen, whatever, and he is quiet and he doesn't answer back the aid. Mahu, what's the din? Do we say, therefore, again, that what the one aid is saying is acceptable, and therefore his wife becomes also to him? And, or do we not? Because after all, you need two Edim for a Dover Sheva Erva. So Abaye, Omer Neman, Abaye says we do believe him. Now, to be sure, Tosfos says, first of all, Tosfos has the Girsa Omer Abaye, he. Abaye says it means the same thing. I had once, there's a Gemara in Baba Basra also where Abaye says he. There we do have the Girsa like that. I had a Rebbe many years ago when I was learning it in Ole Torah, who gave us a test, and one of the choices was I'm Abaye he. Doesn't mean Abaye was laughing. Of course, it doesn't mean that, but you know, that was a good joke for seventh graders. Anyway, whether the Girsa is Neman, like we say in the Gemara, or he, as Tosfos says, whatever, the point is that Abaye is saying, yes, in this case, also one aid is believed. Now, what happened to, doesn't Abaye agree with everything we said in the earlier sugya, that if a person is Makadish with one aid, then there's no Kiddushin, and the rule was, Ein Dover Sheva Erva Pachas Mishnayim, anytime you're dealing with a change of status as far as Arayas, which includes here in this case, where he's telling him that your wife was Mizana, and therefore that she's also to you, would require two Edim. Now, there are, in fact, Rishonim who learn that maybe Abaye disagrees with the opinions that said that before and holds we had before in the earlier sugya yesterday. We had Rav Papa saying that maybe we are Choshesh in the Kedushav, so where there's one aid, so in that case, maybe Abaye would be holding like that and be saying, therefore, that... And be saying therefore that we do have to be concerned about the one aid. Most of the Rishonim learn that not, that he does in fact agree. Ein Dover Sheva Erva Pachas Mishnayim. Tosfos describes over here one answer is, after all, when it comes to kiddushin, if there's no two aidim, fine, you can say that the money is not considered kiddushin. The money is considered a gift that he gave her. Here, if she was in fact mezana, it doesn't matter what the motivation was, as long as it doesn't really matter whether there's aidim or not. All you need is the husband needs to know about it, and therefore Abaye says it's good enough for one aid to say. And then there are different other there are a number of other possibilities that we've shown him bring up why Abaye would say over here one aid is good enough. One consideration maybe is that the fact that the husband is not saying anything in response, but we did say before when it comes to Kedushin and Gittin, we said even if they both agree there was Kedushin over here, it doesn't work without two aidim, but here again there might be reason for Abaye to draw a distinction. Anyway, so that Abaye says that we do believe that one aid, therefore his wife becomes also to him. Rava Amar Eina Neman. Rava says, no, we don't believe him because Habid Dover Sheva Erva, because this is a matter involving Erva, the Ein Dover Sheva Erva Pachas Mishnayim. And the general rule is you always need two aidim to substantiate it. So even though if you only have one aid, that's not good enough. In fact, Tosfos says, now, what about, didn't we learn before, we have the whole case over there where a man says to a woman, I was Mekadosh you, and she says, you weren't Mekadosh me, and we said he becomes also to marry her relatives, because Shav Yanaf Shechaticha Bisura. Well, over here, if we hold, like Tosfos said before, and like Rashi and Tosfos said before, Shtika Kahida, then him being quiet and not contradicting the aid amounts to admitting what the aid said is true. Well, therefore, that would be a case of shavi nafshe chaticha b'yisoda. She ought to be also to him on those grounds alone. But Tosfos says no. The reason why Rava would say in all of Abaya's cases that the reason why when he's quiet we believe the one aid is not because shika kaida but because raglayim modav. Well, over here the fact is so over here that means the issur would come essentially because the husband himself is so the issur is not really coming from the husband itself, it's coming only from the one aid and ein davar sheba'ever pachas mishnayim. So, again, we did say before, there are Rishonim, that Amban and others who learn that, in fact, Abaya also agrees that the one aid is believed because Raglayim Ladavar, so they're going to have to explain what Rava is saying differently. Omer Abaya Menoa Minala. So Abaya says, where do I get this from? Based on what am I saying that one aid is believed when the husband is not saying anything? So I'll give you a case, says Abaya. Dahu Samya, there was a blind person, he would arrange and repeat Mishnayas over in front of Mar Shmuel. This is Shmuel the Amora. So he had a regular time, he'd be in front of Shmuel, and he'd repeat over Mishnayas and Brisas to him, and then they'd discuss them. See, one day it was getting late, and it was already dark, and he still didn't come. So Shmuel sent the shliach to find out what's going on and ask him to come. The shliach went on one road to get to this blind person's house. Meanwhile, the blind person himself showed up, but he had traveled on a different road, so he didn't meet up with the shliach. When the shliach came back, Omar, he says to this blind person, Ishtei Zinsa, you should know, while I was there, I saw that your wife was being mizan. So now this blind person comes to Shmuel. He's not just going to repeat Mishnayas and Braises to him. Now he has an actual Shaila and Halacha. So Shmuel answers him, if you believe this shliach, zil apka, then you're going to have to be divorced. Then you're going to have to divorce your wife. Rashi explains, we're talking about over here, the wife herself does not contradict what the aid says. So again, that we, whether we say shesika kaida, whatever reason we say exactly, so Rashi says she didn't contradict him. Now that would seem to imply that if she did contradict him, then in fact we wouldn't believe that one aid. The Rashba discusses this in one of his Chumas, and he says that's what it means. On the other hand, if you look in the Rashi on the Rif, so you have the Rashi himself didn't write on the Rif. The Rif was contemporary with Rashi. Not necessarily did Rashi even know about the Rif's Sefer while he was alive. So he didn't directly write on him. But at some point, somebody took and put together a Rashi on the Rif, apparently based on Rashi on the Gemara. And there, actually, the expression is there. It brings the same statement from Rashi, but the expression is not hikhishosoi, which means she contradicted him, or she did not contradict him, but rather hikhashdoi, you didn't contradict him. So according to that, it would come out a different din. According to that, Rashi would be saying what the wife says doesn't matter for this purpose, because she's negei b'davar, I guess. But what you said, but Shmuel would be telling this blind person, you haven't contradicted the aid. Therefore, we would have to do a bias din that therefore you would have to believe this aid, and therefore you would have, and therefore you'd have to divorce it, and therefore you'd have to divorce her.
If she agreed, then it'd be like two aided together. She's an aid on herself.
Well, she's not an aid on herself. Because she's negeya b'davar, but also because ain't on a mesim atzme rosha. We don't accept a person's aidress that he himself did an aveira. But no, if she herself, so he or she's not even agreeing to it, she's just being quiet. So again, according to the Girsa of Rashi that we have in front of us, means she's not contradicting the aid, she's just staying quiet. The Girsa of Rashi in the Rif would be, you, Shmuel is telling the husband, you haven't contradicted this aid. And according to that, it would come out that whether what the wife says is not doesn't really make a difference. Anyway, so says Abaya, so you have a proof from that story that that one aid is believed, if the even in Dovah Shebe'erva, if the husband is not contradicting him. So he tells him, Ime Heman Loch, if you believe her, if you believe the Shliach Zil Akka, then go divorce her, the Eloi Loi Tapik. And if not, then you're not required to divorce her. Now, says Abaya, my lav, wouldn't that mean ima heman aloch the lav gazlanahu? What does Shmuel mean when he says, if you trust this one aid? On the face of it, it's not a matter of trust or not. It means if you know that he's not a gazlan, which, I mean, on the face of it, whether he's a gazlan or not is going to be something that itself has to be established by Edim. So the Pnei Yeshua explains we don't literally mean that Shmuel means that he's a gazlan. It just means if you know that this shliach is not stam trying to make a joke at your expense or something. And then there's different other explanations about exactly what he means by that. But the point is, in other words, Abaya is saying that Shmuel is telling him that that yes, one aid would be enough to ask your wife to you, provided that you haven't spoken up in return and said it's not true. So for Rava, so what does Rava answer to that? Rava, who says that even in such a case you need two aid him, he would say what Shmuel means is he means if you trust this shliach as much as you would trust two edim, then zil apka, then go divorce her. Meaning, in other words, even then, the Rif says it doesn't mean that, and then the Ritva say it doesn't mean that he'd be required al pi halacha to divorce her. It would just be b'bra lotzis yedei shamayim. If he wants to be extra careful al pi halacha, then he would have to divorce her. And Shmuel is telling him, if not, then loy tapka, then you're not even required even lots of sedei shemayim to divorce her because one aid is not believed. So you have dinim about this in Shulchan Aruch, and it's a little bit complicated, especially nowadays. All of this din becomes somewhat more complicated now. Like this, of course, in the times of the Gemara, for a woman you could have where a woman might have, we learned about this at the end of Nedarim, for example, where she might be making excuses because she wants to put herself in a situation where her husband will be required to divorce her because she has eyes on somebody else that she wants to marry. We had a couple of cases at the end of Masechta Nedarim where there was a certain aglaim ladover that a woman had been mezana, and we said the husband is not necessarily obligated to accept it because shema inan nosna ma'acher. Now, in the times of the Gemara, the other way is not always the case, of course, because if the husband, if you're talking about over here, where the husband is told something by one aid, he doesn't necessarily have to divorce. So he could, for example, you know, even if he doesn't like his wife, all he needs to do is marry another one. Eventually, of course, they became cherem de menegershim, where he can't do that. Therefore, it mentions in Shulchan Aruch that may cause a change in the din. Like this, we're saying in the Gemara, if he wants to be machmer on himself, he can divorce her with this one aid, but he's not required to. On the other hand, nowadays, it's not so simple. Since he can't marry a second wife while he's married to the first one, then we have the concern, Shema Einav Nosn V'Acheres. Maybe he wants to marry another woman, and therefore he's saying, you know what, I believe this one aid in order to have an excuse to divorce his wife and marry somebody else. So therefore it becomes not so simple to say that we should allow him to say, you know what, I believe this one aid, as though he were to aid him, and to say you divorce her. Maybe you need more than that. There are dinim about it in Shulchan Aruch and Evan Ezer in a couple of places. Not so simple. Okay, So fine. So we had one proof that Abaya wanted to bring from this case involving this blind person and Shmuel, and Rava is saying that's not necessarily a proof because maybe Shmuel didn't mean that you always have to believe the one aid. It means only if he's saying if you actually trust this aid as much as you would trust two people, then fine. You want to be Yotzi Yidei Shemayim, then go divorce her, but you're not actually required to because Ein Dovah Shebe'erva Pachas Mishnayim.
There's no real connection to the guy being blind, right?
No, it's Stam. It so happens the guy was blind, yeah. Maybe that made his wife figure that once her husband is away for a little while, then she has an opportunity. Who knows? Okay. Abaye says, fine, I have another proof from my din that one aid is enough to establish in certain cases a double Shabbat Erva. Here we're not going to be talking about where she was Mizana, but we're going to be talking about the very related case of a Shvuya, a woman who was captured by Goyim, and there's a concern that they may have raped her. So to Tanya, we learn in a Braisa a long story as follows. It happened once with Yanei HaMelech. He was one of the kings of the Chashmonaim in the middle years of the second Beis HaMikdash. He went to a place called Kuchlis in the desert, an area called Kuchlis, and he conquered 60 cities over there. When he came back, he was very happy that he had been so successful. So he called together all the Chachamim. He says, you know what? Our ancestors, when they were building the second Beis HaMikdash, they were very poor. They couldn't afford normal food, so they had to eat meluchim, which is, meluchim literally means salty, but Rashi explains that actually it's a type of vegetable. In Aramaic, it's called kakuli. We actually just had an Ein Yaakov, a piece in Psachim, where it says that if a person regularly eats kakuli, then it's good. He's living cheaply, and he'll be able to sit wherever he wants in the city and not be afraid of anybody coming and demanding payment from him for debts that he owes him. But anyway, Rashi refers to Yav Posuk in Iyov, where Iyov describes low-down people, the kind who don't belong in civilized society, and he describes them akotfim maluach alesiach. They scrape maluach off the bushes, and that's what they eat. So maluach is some kind of plant or some kind of moss or something like that. Whatever. The point is, Yanei HaMelech is saying that back then they were so poor, they're trying to save every penny they have to put towards the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, they lived off cheap food, like the kind of thing that you could just go scrape off bushes or rocks or whatever, like moss, and they would eat that. But Mash is called maluchim because it has a salty flavor. I don't know. Anyway. So says Yana, we should also now eat meluchim as a remembrance of our ancestors to thank Hashem that he brought us to such a better place where now we're so rich and we're conquering cities and all that. So they served meluchim on golden tables and they ate. Yanai was extremely rich, so therefore they had golden tables and golden furniture. But now they're eating this plain food meluchim. But v'hoyasham echad, there was a certain person over there, ish letz, a person who's a letz, which means that he doesn't take anything of Kedusha seriously. To him, everything is one big joke or something that you can use to twist into something else. Levra, he has an evil heart. He's a mean person. Ublial, and he has no yoke of Hashem on him. Blial is short for bli oil, which means he doesn't have the yoke of Yiras Shemayim on him. Ve'alozer ben Pu'ira Shemay, his name was Alozer ben Pu'ira. So this Elazar ben Pu'ira says to Yanei HaMelech, libam shel prushim alecha, the hearts of the prushim, which means the chachamim, is against you. In other words, you think that they're happy with your success, but no, Rashi says, Elazar is claiming they actually hate you. They're not happy with the fact that you were so successful and you just conquered all these cities and all. Yet this was the period when the tzedukim were beginning. You had the tzedukim who claimed to believe only in Torah Shabbat, and then you had the prushim, which means the frum Jews. In general, in Gemara terminology, most of the time when we call them prushim, it's usually the tzedukim calling them that as a derogatory name, like prushim, like the ones who separate themselves, like the ones who are all high and mighty, and they treat themselves as like higher and better than everybody else. In Gemara terminology, we call them the chachamim or the chaverim or whatever. But when we're quoting tzedukim, then usually the name for them is prushim. Anyway, so this Elazar ben Pu'ira himself apparently was a tzeduki, and so he's telling Yanai that the prushim, the chachamim, really secretly hate him.
And he believes them.
Wait. So Yanai asked him, Ma'ase, what should I do to prove whether that's the case? So Elazar tells him, Hokim lahem betzitz shebeinei necha, make them put on the tzitz between your eyes, meaning on your forehead, and make them stand up. And then when they stand up, then they're going to tell what they're actually thinking. Now Rashi explains this was not during the time of the Avodah, of course, because this is during a party in the palace. Yeah, nevertheless, Rashi says, we learned in the previous Perek that big de kahuna nitnu lahonis behen. We had previously on Dafnun Dalad that you are allowed to have hana from the big de kahuna because we said it's impossible to take. It's impossible. We said to take them off the moment you finish the avoda, and therefore you're allowed to have hana from them and wear them outside of the time of the avoda. The
question was, are you allowed to have hana without hana to be in kashrut? That was something.
Yeah, we mentioned that also. Therefore, is it possible to take one of those clothes and use it to be mekadesh? Yeah, that was the context in which we talked about it. Yeah. So now Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says, from that Gemara, it's mashma that you do have to take off the big dikohona as soon as possible. All it is me'ila won't apply to them while they're still usable because it's impossible to take them off the split second that the avodah is over. But still, doesn't that imply you have to take them off as soon as possible? Rather, Tosfos says it's true. The other big dikohona, you're not allowed to wear outside the avodah. However, the tzitz is different because the pasuk says on it, "V'hoya al mitzchay tamid." It should be constantly on the forehead of the kohen gadol. In fact, you have a machlokas in a few places in Shas. What happens if the kohen gadol is not wearing the tzitz at the moment? We know that tzitz has the power to make certain so particularly when you say to forgive. Specifically, what it is certain psulim of korbanos are going to be kosher b'diavad because of the tzitz. In particular, for example, if the blood of the korban became tamei and you sprinkle it on the mizbeach, then the tzitz makes it acceptable. So and there's machloikas in a couple of places in Shas. Does that apply only when the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz, or does it apply even when he's not wearing it as long as it exists? So therefore, Tosfos says, so the tzitz, particularly the Kohen Gadol, is able to wear it, shaloi b'shas avodim, but the other begodim not. So the point is, in other words, this Elazar is telling him, if you wear the tzitz, they're going to have to stand up out of respect for it, and then they're going to tell you what they're actually thinking. So the Braisa continues. Well, there was one old Talmud Chacham over there named Yehuda ben Gdidya. So when Yanai puts on the tzitz and everybody stands up, then Yehuda speaks his mind. He says to Yanai, Yanai Amelach, Rav Loch Keser Malchus. It's enough for you that you have the crown of kingship, because he's a king after all. Hanach Keser Kohuna Lazare Shal Aaron. Leave the crown of Kohuna for the legitimate descendants of Aaron. Meaning now Yanai's father and his father's father before him and so forth were Kohen him. Yanai was a grandson of Matisyahu Kohen Gadol. But the problem was, Shahoyu Umim Imay Nishbas B'Modiim. The problem was, they were saying, and we're going to see now in the Gemara, this is why Abaya is bringing this in, who was it that was saying that Imay Nishbas B'Modiim, Yanai HaMelech, at some point his mother had been captured by Goyim B'Modiim, which is the city from where the Hashmonaim hailed, where therefore now there's the concern she may have been raped by them, and therefore her children would be halal and midrabanan. So Yehuda is telling him that you're the king. Fine, we're not going to protest about that, but you're the kohen gadol that we're going to protest about. Mephoshim, by the way, deal with the interesting question. Now Yanai had been serving as kohen gadol by that point apparently for quite some time. So why is Yehuda first speaking up now by this party? Hasn't he seen Yanai doing the avoda many times before?
Every year.
Right? Well, not necessarily was he actually the one who did the avodah in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He may have just been, there may have been, sometimes you had where the Kohen Gadol was Tomei or otherwise unavailable and the Sagan takes over instead. Yes. Fine, but okay, but anyway. So it is actually, there is an interesting point. Now, another point that we have to deal with before we continue the story, we're going to end up saying that he became a tzeduki as a result of the story. Now, we're going to end up saying. Now, you have famously, the Gemara tells us that Yochanan Kohen Gadol was 80 years a Kohen Gadol and then became a Tzedukah. Now, you have a Gemara in Brochus where Abaya and Rava disagree on this point. Abaya says Yanai and Yochanan are the same person. Abaya, there's two different names for the same person. Rava says no, Yanai was a Rosha Meikroi and Yochanan was a Tzadik Meikroi and then became a Rosha. So now here Abaya is the one quoting this Braisa. He mentions the story in connection with Yanai. It's very possible, though, according to Abaya himself, that would be the same Yochanan Kohen Gadol. So now the Ritva explains maybe actually what it is this happened early during his tenure. Maybe this whole thing happened where he became a tzeduki. Later on, he did tshuva and served for 80 years as a Kohen Gadol. And then eventually, after 80 years, he relapsed and became a tzeduki. So according to that, then the question wouldn't begin. How is it that he had been doing the avoda all this time and nobody ever paid any attention? Because this would be right at the beginning of his 80 years.
It's very hard for a person to do something, to do it, to realize this and go and then go back.
And then go back, but it can still happen. Now, Tam and Batz, Machad, Yom Mosa.
But for the truth, for 80 years, he realized.
Okay, nevertheless, though, it's still can happen.
This older person heard this whole conversation.
Who? This loss of Bantuina, yeah.
But the person that he said the Zakan was the old.
The Zakan, yeah, he heard. He hadn't heard Bakashtas. He hadn't heard Elizabeth Poira trying to talk to Yana. Oh. He's just saying now all he sees is Yana is all of a sudden wearing the tzitz. Now there are other explanations among the Rishonim, that Amban and a few other Rishonim say. Given that it's a little bit questionable lahalocha whether Yanai should be wearing the tzitz at this point, like we just said, according to Rashi and Tosfos, they're figuring, look, until now he's wearing the tzitz as a legitimate thing to do the avodah, so therefore, fine, you know, so we assume he's okay to do the avodah. But now he's showing how careless he is with the kedusha of the tzitz. He's stamped putting it on now in the middle of his party just to make us all get up out of respect and speak our minds. Then therefore now we have reason to think that maybe after all those rumors about his mother are true, and therefore that maybe he shouldn't be serving as Kohen Gadol.
Is there a text we're speaking about people speaking their minds when the tzitz is shown?
No, but we're just saying once they're standing up, we expect that they're going to say, we're going to say what they're thinking, that why are you making us stand up with it? Marsha has a very long and interesting symbolic explanation over here of this whole story, that we know in Pirkei Avos it says, Shlosha Ksarim Hem, you have three crowns of Torah, Kohuna, and Malchus, and Keser Shem Tov Ola Agabehem. Symbolically, the Kohen Gadol has two of them at a time, because he wears the tzitz, which is Keser Kohuna, and he also wears tefillin, which is Keser Torah. So now, in effect, Yana is trying to take over all three of them because he's a melech as well. So therefore, Yehuda is telling him, you know what, there's no room for three ksarim. You don't have room to put on three pair of tefillin on the head, only two. And in that case, and the tzitz substitutes for one of them. But if you're going to be a melech, then you don't need the keser kohuna as well, because in effect, it's like you're going to push away the crown of Torah in order to make room for your crown of Malchus and your crown of kohuna. And that's not right. You can't push Torah aside like that. But the point is, if you're going to be a king and a Kohen Gadol, means those are the two crowns you're going to be wearing. It means you don't have room for the third crown, and there's Anyway, so the Braisa continues. Vayivruka shadova v'leinimtza. The matter was checked into, and they couldn't find, meaning they couldn't find any evidence that in fact his mother had been a shvuya.
So after
Yehuda ben Gedidia had said this, after he'd said Ima Nishmas Badin, now the Chachamim started checking into it to see what evidence there exists, and they couldn't find. That's what Abaya is going to talk about once we finish quoting the whole Braisa. What do we mean? V'lo nimtza. What exactly was not found? That's why Abaya is bringing this in. The sugya. By Bodlu Chachmi Yisrael Bazam, and so the Chachamim were separated in Yana's anger, meaning Yana is so angry at them that they had to separate, they had to leave the party, and the whole thing the whole thing was a fiasco. So what Elazar was trying, so what this Elazar ben Poira, the Rosha, was trying to accomplish, in fact, started coming true. And then things got even worse. By Yomer Elazar ben Poira the Yana Amelach. It's interesting, by the way, the style is Braisa, where it's almost like half in Tanakh language. By Yomer, Vayibodlu, and so forth. So it's a style, apparently, that the Tana of this Braisa wanted to write in like a semi-Tanakh style. So Vayomer Elazar ben Poira the Yana Amelach. So this Elazar ben Poira continues to try and rates on Abaya and get him angry at the Chachamim. He says, Yana Amelach. Hedyot should be Yisrael Kachudinoi. A regular simple Jew would be like that. Somebody insults him and he has to take it and then be quiet and can't do anything. The Atam Melech, the Kohen Gadol, Kachudincha, you're a king and a Kohen Gadol. Is it right that you should just take this and not do anything to them? You shouldn't, they insulted you in public like that and you shouldn't get back at them? Are you talking? Yeah. There is, by the way, now it's interesting. The historian Josephus tells the story, and he tells it with some different details. In particular, he makes the Chacham to be the bad guy, but that's Josephus often does that. But he makes a point. He didn't like the Chachamim. Yeah,
oh.
He didn't like the Chachamim in general.
Well,
he was a Jew. He was a Jew, but whatever. Anyway. He mentions in this connection that Yanai says to the Chachamim, what punishment does this Yehuda ben Gedidia deserve for speaking like that in a chutzpahtik way to me? So the Chachamim thought it over and decided he should get Malchus. Now, maybe even he shouldn't be getting that, but at least to appease Yanai. But now, this Elazar ben Poira is using that as an excuse. Malchus would be the appropriate punishment, maybe if he insulted a Hedyot. But you're a king, are you talking that they should consider that enough? So Yanai says, well, my ass says, so what should I do? So Lozer says, Imata Shemelat Sosi Roimsum. If you listen to my advice, trample them, kill the Chachamim. So Yanai says, well, Toda Matahelah, what's going to happen? The Chachamim are teaching the whole people Toda. What's going to happen with that? So Elazar says, big deal. The Toda is rolled up and put in a corner. Anyone who wants to learn Toda can learn Toda. We don't need the Chacham. Well, Amar of Nachum Yitzchak miyad nizrka by Apikursus. At that moment, Apikursus or Minus came into Yanai's mind. The Havilah the Memo, he should have answered back, Tenach Torah Shemachsav. Sure, Torah Shemachsav, you can learn without the Chachamim. Torah Shabal Peh Mai, what about Torah Shabal Peh? Befrat in those times, it wasn't even written down yet. But he didn't respond that because he did, in fact, become an Apikurdus at that point. This is what we mean when we say that he became a Tzduki after many years. So in that Gemara and Brachas, Abaya again says that Yanai and Yochanan are the same person, and that this would be what we mean, that Yochanan was Kohen Gadol 80 years and then became a Tzduki. Rava there says that Yanai and Yochanan are two different people. Yochanan, Rava says over there, was a tzaddik me'ikra and then became a Rosha. Yanai was a Rosha me'ikra. So according to that,
why was he a
Rosha me'ikra? Because he was raised wrongly, but to begin with, he was raised among tzedukim and whatever. So then at some point he became good, but then he became bad again. So our story over here in the Gemara, again, it could be referring to Yanai, it could be referring to Yochanan. Josephus, when he tells the story, in fact tells almost the identical story about Yochanan. Anyway. So miyad, so immediately, vatutzat hara ayde Elazar ben Pu'ira. Through Elazar ben Pu'ira, evil was vatutzat. So it actually gives two explanations. One, vatutzat meloshin vayotzit tzit, which means it blossomed forth. The second explanation is meloshin nitzer, it's a spark, like it sparked and became a whole fire. Vayehogu kochach meYisrael. Many of the chachamim, most of the chachamim were killed. The world was desolate of Torah until Shimon ben Shatach came. He was actually Yanai's wife's brother. He was Yanai's brother-in-law, so she was able to hide him out, and eventually he's able to come out and restore the Torah to its original state by teaching Torah and by having many Talmidim. So
when he came out, he didn't.
So when he came out, by the time he came out, things had calmed down. Anyway, the point is. So that's the story. So now, says Abaya, let's analyze the halacha that's in this story about his mother being a shvuya and vayivuka shadova v'loy nimsa. So heichidami. So Abaya says, you have to consider, what do we mean? What evidence was there claimed to be as far as that she was a shvuya, and what evidence could they not find to substantiate that? Ilema de beit shrei amri ishtaboy u beit shrei amri lo ishtaboy. By the way, worth mentioning in this connection, That the Tzedukim famously didn't believe in Torah Shabal Peh. So actually, now this din of a Shvuya, of a Shvuya being also is not part of Torah Shabchsav, it's a Gzeira of the Chachamim. That would explain, says Doris Hirshonim, how did the Tzedukim come up with their notion of that we should believe only in Torah Shabchsav and not in Torah Shabal Peh, is partially based on this story. Because they were saying, look, if the whole concept, if we don't have to believe in Torah Shabal Peh, then the whole concept of a Shvuya is irrelevant. So therefore, so it wouldn't matter whether in fact his mother was a shvuya or not, because either way he'd be a kosher kohen.
Because it doesn't say
in the pasuk shvuya, it's only exeter de rabbanon. Yeah. Anyway, so the Gemara says, hey, dummy, ilayim de beit shrei ami ishtaboy or beit shrei ami lo ishtaboy. Are you talking about you have two edim that say that she was captured by the goyim, and two others contradict them and say she was not? Well then why anyway would there even be the so why would we say he's still kosher? My chos is the samchos ahani. Why are you relying on these two smoich ahani? Instead rely on the other two. Meaning, in other words, the braisa said v'loy motzu, they couldn't find any evidence. So what do you mean? Then if you have two edim against two edim, then in fact. Now Rashi explains, if she herself was coming to Beis Din and asking, can I still stay married to my husband, a Kohen, then fine. We would say, look, you have a chazakah beforehand of having been kosher. So therefore, we have two against two. They cancel each other out, and therefore you retain your chazakah. But
two edim
against two edim. If you have two that say that she was captured and two that say that she was not, then you have two against two.
Oh, but and what, but, and what is she saying?
She say it doesn't matter what she's saying. Then we focus on the Eidim. So then we would say that fine, she has a chazaka being mutter. But here Rashi says we're not talking about.
So she has a chazaka
again. If she herself, listen, Rashi is saying like this: if she herself were to come to Beis Din, where there are two Eidim claiming that she was captured and two others saying that she was not. Then, and she's coming to Beis Din and asking, look, am I allowed to remain married to my husband, the Kohen? They would tell her, Rashi says, yes, you are, because the two Eidim, the two sets of Eidim, cancel each other out. Therefore, you retain your chazaka being mutter. Yes. But Rashi says, here we're not talking about a chazaka, here we're not talking about her. Here we're talking about her son, Yanai. The question is, he never had a chazaka. He never had a chazaka to Meikra. There's no original chazaka that he was kosher. So therefore, so now we can say that if there's two against two, then maybe we need to believe the ones who say, maybe at least we need to believe the ones that were captured. So how can you say v'loy nimza? Tosfos learns differently, and then Tosfos says that when you have two against two, and you have, therefore it's a suffix dirabbanan, and after all it's an isur daraisa for such a person to be serving in the Beis Mikdash and for such a woman to be married to a kohen, there we would say she'd be also dirabbanan, because two against two. Because when do we say it? There is an issu daraisa involved, because if in fact she was raped by the goyim, then she is also to a koyin, and her child is a cholo. So therefore, there is an issu daraisa involved over here. So therefore, Tosfa says that would be a different reason to be machmir. Anyway, different rishonim explained differently. There's another explanation that the question of the Gemara is, fine, if you have two against two Eidim, fine, we can say maybe then therefore the two of them cancel each other out and therefore we're not going to pass on him. But that wouldn't cause Yanai's anger to flare up so much that he would kill the Chachamim, because even if Allah ben Pu'ira is trying to rate him on, still he would say, look, you know, what do you want from the Chachamim? They had two Eidim saying that my mother was captured. So what do you want from them? You know, two Eidim, you have to follow them. Fine, there are two Eidim that contradict them. Fine, that'll allow me to remain my Chazaka, but at least that should, at least I can understand where the Chachamim are coming from. The fact that he can't even understand and Batutza Tzara and he killed all of the Chachamim implies that it can't just have been that. That's another way of explaining what Abaya's point is. Anyway, Ela Be'ed Echad. Evidently, says Abaya, we have to be talking about there was one aid that she was captured by the Goyim. Well, the timer to come machashile betre. So only because then two Eidim are contradicting that and saying that she was not captured. Therefore, we don't believe him. That's what we mean. Veloy nimtza vayivukash adover veloy nimtza. All we could find was one aid who was saying she was captured. Then you have two aidim against that, and therefore, so now that allows Yanai to retain his chazaka of a koyin, and it also means therefore Abaya, therefore Yanai also has more of a reason to hate the chachamim. What do you mean? To begin with, you're basing yourself only on one aid, and you have two aidim contradicting him. Then why do you even bring up the question in the first place? Only because two Eidim are contradicting him. Holav Hochi Meheman, implying if not for that, the one aid would have been believed. So therefore, says Abaya, so there is my proof that one aid is good enough in certain Dvarim Shebeirva.
Now that would be just enough to not to get killed.
No, not to get killed, of course not. But in the case of a Shuriya, there's no killing anyway. It was bonus. No, but she still becomes also to her husband.
Right, but the fact that she kept living with her husband.
Right, no, that still wouldn't be an issue lav. It wouldn't be an issue. It wouldn't be an issue misa. The Rava. So what would Rava answer to that? Lo'olam trei u'trei. No, in fact, Rava says we are talking about in the story of Yanai, there were two Eidim against two Eidim. Two Eidim said she was captured and two other Eidim said we weren't. And that she wasn't. V'chida omer of acha bar Rav Manyumi be'edei hazama. We have elsewhere where an answer is given, where you don't just have two Eidim contradicting two Eidim, but rather where they're mazim, and they say imonu hayisim. Now that's much stronger. The Torah gives namonus to the second set of Eidim over the first one. So therefore, now the first ones are completely discredited. So therefore, we can use that as v'loy nimtza. We can say there wasn't found because those Eidim who claimed and then said, we were in Medin when this happened, other Eidim came and said, imonu hayisim, and therefore the whole Eidus falls apart. So Hochanami, the Eidah Hazama, so you can answer that. The boy is saying, No, that's the point. In other words, so you have two sets of Eidim. You have one set of Eidim that came and said that his mother was captured. Now you have other Eidim that are mazim. So therefore, not only does that mean the first ones are completely discredited, but it means, in other words, the Chachamim therefore have no real basis for even bringing up the point. They should have checked this out. They should have been mazim these Eidim beforehand rather than ever bringing up the point. Another possibility is we can understand the story like what Rabbi Yitzchak says. Rabbi Yitzchak says, actually, what happened was that when there was danger of her being captured by the Goyim, instead they smuggled in a Shifcha instead of her, and that Shifcha was the one who was taken into captivity, and people thought that it was her. So therefore, in other words, so the second Edim are not contradicting the first Edim, they're adding a detail that the first Edim didn't know about. So therefore, in a certain sense, we accept both sets of Edim. We say, yes, there was a case of Shibya over here, but not involving her. So therefore, we can call that V'loy Nimsa. There was not found solid evidence that it was her herself, because the second Edim actually came and said it wasn't her, but rather a Shifcha that was smuggled in instead. So there, that's another way of understanding. Rava says you don't have to say that it was all depending on one aid. You could say it was depending on two aidim, and nevertheless, we would still have reason to say that v'loy nimsa, to say that eventually it wasn't found to be true, and so forth.
So they didn't have to really ask mechila.
So they should have asked mechila, and they didn't, and therefore that's everything developed from there. Yeah. Derech Agav, by the way, Josephus mentions in his history that at a later point with Yana, you have the famous story in the Mishnah in Sukkah where a Tzduki Kohen Gadol poured the water for Nisach HaMayim on his feet and everybody pelted them with their Asuragim. The Mishnah doesn't identify who that Kohen Gadol was. Josephus in his history says that it was Yana in Melech. And he says, not only that, people were yelling at him, also, you're a son of a Shavuya. Because even though the Gemara is saying over here, they never were able to substantiate it, people still continued to believe the rumor, and therefore now they're telling him again that at that time, you're Bechlal Posel to be a Koyan, and when what are you even doing over here?
They actually killed him?
And then Josephus brings over there from Yerushalmi, I think, that they actually killed him with the Asuragim. Josephus tells the story that Fakir, no, not only they didn't kill him, but he sent his soldiers to kill many of them. So it's not necessarily, maybe it's not necessarily the same story, but anyway. All right. Omar Rava Minah Minallah. Now Rava says, where do I get from this that I say you always need two aidim? So far we had Abaye bringing two different proofs, one from the story of the blind person and Shmuel, one from the story of Yana and Melech, and both of them Rava is saying not necessarily is it a matter of one aid. Now Rava is saying, I who am saying that you always need two aidim when it comes to a Jabba Shavera, where am I getting it from? So the Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah, it's actually a Braisa, Omer of Shimon, Maisa b'megura shal diskim b'yavne. It happened once with a storage area of water, you know, like a pool of water, of diskim in Yavne. Rashi says diskim may be the name of the person who owns it, or it may be the name of the neighborhood in Yavne where it was located. Whatever it was, so it was a mikveh, shahoysa ibed. It had a chazaka of being complete, of being 40 saw, but then at one point they measured it and they found it's lacking. It doesn't have full 40 saw.
No one's told them 4 saw anyhow.
What?
No one tells the 4 saw. They have a big mikveh.
The minimum for the mikveh is 40 saw. Right. It seems that in the times of the Gemara, it was very common that a mikveh would be exactly 40 saw. Listen, you have, for example, think of in the Mishnayos that we learn for a yortzeit and whenever you have the case. Mikveh sheyesh ba'aboyim sal mechuvanes. You have a mikveh with exactly 40 right. saw, and one person toivels, and then another person toivels. The second one is no good because he took some of the water with him on his body.
But they wouldn't make only 40.
My point being, in other words, that fakert. You see that often mikvahs were made exactly 40 saw, and therefore it's missing. Then it's missing. In any case, here the point is they measured it at some point and they found it didn't have 40 saw. So now what happened to any taras that were made in connection with that mikveh? So for example, people have toveled in the mikveh and then handled food. And now the question is that food tummy or tahor? Rab Tarfon held the food is tahor, and Rab Akiva held it tummy. So Omer Rab Tarfon, in other words, held that you have, he says it only became chosur just now, back when the people toiveled there, or kalim that were used for food were toiveled there, it was still whole. So therefore, all those are good. Rabbi Akiva is saying you don't know when it's missing the water. So it might be that already last week or 2 weeks ago already, it was already chosur since the last time he measured it. And therefore anybody who toiveled it in, or any kalim that toiveled it, are not going to be tummy.
Every 2 people ago, it makes a tummy, it makes it missing, right?
No, there we're talking, if you have exactly 40 saw, then yeah, you might have every person, let's say, for example, fine, here it was 41 saw to begin with, so a little bit of water that a person takes off his body is not going to make a difference, but nevertheless, now they measured and they found that it had only 39, whatever the reason was, maybe there was a leak, maybe somebody took water from it, who knows, whatever the case. The point is that Taufin is saying that we give a chazaka that until now the mitzvah was known to be good, and therefore if we see now that it's no good, then we should say only recently did that happen. The last person, let's say, or after the last person. When Rabbi Akiva says now, Amr Ab Taifin, mikveh zeh b'cheskes shalom u'oymed, so Rabbi Akiva says, look, this mikveh has a chazaka of being whole, misafik at a bolo halachas, right? You want to say based on a suffix that it should be considered missing, al tachsir en a misafik. Don't say that the fact that it's missing goes back misafik any further than you have to.
Something's taken away.
That taksiran means to say that it's lacking. Right now we see it's lacking, but don't say that goes back any further than necessary. So that's good enough. Therefore, says Reb Taifin, to say that we should assume that it happened only recently. On the other hand, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Odom Zeb Cheskes Tomei Hu Oymed. You have to consider the person who traveled in it had a chazaka until now, being Tomei. You want to say based on a suffix that he's Tahar. Al Tahrenu Misafik. Don't say based on that suffix that he's Tahar, because the fact is, not only you have a chazaka that he was Tomei, but also the fact is, we have right now in front of us, we see that right now we find that mikveh is lacking. So therefore, we have reason to say that that extends to his chazaka all the way back from the beginning. Amr Ab Taifin, so Ab Taifin says, Moshe lo'oymedu makriv agabe ha-mizbeach. Let me give you an analogy, says Ab Taifin. Imagine you have a kohen who's standing and bringing korbanos on the mizbeach. We find out all of a sudden, he finds out that his mother was a grusha or a chalutza, which makes him a cholol. The fact is, the avodah that he did up until now is kosher. It doesn't become retroactively possible. We're going to learn at the end of the Omud that there's a limud as far as koyin, as far as a cholol. And that if he does the avodah b'di'evid, it's kosher. The Rambam holds actually that would apply even after he finds out he's a cholol. If he were to do the avodah b'di'evid, it would be kosher. Most Rishonim disagree with that, and so they say no. It means any avodah that he did up until now, before he found out, is going to be. Yeah, the Ramban also talks about that. Maybe we're talking about over here. Maybe it's not that he finds out he's a vadei cholol, but only a suffet cholol. Anyway. So the Taifin says, by the same token, then the mikveh had a cheskas kashrus until now, and therefore we should say that it's kosher. In fact, Tosfos points out that there are several different machlokas in between Reb Taifin and Reb Akiva. They're arguing here on several points. First of all, you have the question again about the taris themselves, the food that was prepared using people or kalim that were toveled in the mikveh. Do we go according to the chazaka of the mikveh or the chazaka of the person? Another point is, what happens if a person toveled in this mikveh and later on you find out that this mikveh at the time had been lacking water? Do we say that the taris, we're still going to say b'dieved, the taris remained tahor, even though this time we know for sure, says Tosfos Yishonim in Tosfos, that maybe that we know for sure that when he toveled in it, it was chaser, but we only found that out later. And then a related case would be, what happens a kohen toivels in the mikveh and does the avoda, and later on Adam come and say at the time the mikveh was lacking water, it didn't have full 40 sah. Nevertheless, Reb Taifin is going to say the same way as a cholol's avoda is kosher b'dieved retroactively, the same way over here. And Reb Taifin and Reb Akiva is going to say so Reb Taifin says, so you have a similar proof over here that these taras should be tahor l'mafreya. But Amar Rabbi Akiva says, you want to compare to a grush, to a ben grusha or ben chalutza, make a different comparison. Imagine you have, it's like a person who's being makriv korbanos on the mizbeach, but notice your baal mum, and we find all of a sudden that he's a baal mum, shabidos psula. Then the avoda is possible. Even what he did until now is possible. So therefore, so in this case, the mikveh is similar to a baal mum. Omer Ab Taifin, so Ab Taifin says, "Nu ata dimisei lebal mum, vani dimisei leben grusha leben chalutza." So you're telling me, so the underlying question is going to be, what is this case more similar to, a bal mum or ben grusha or ben chalutza? Nidol mi daima. So let's figure it out. Which one is it more similar to? E daima leben grusha leben chalutza. If we can figure out logically that this case of a mikveh missing water is like a ben grusha ben chalutza, nidu nenu kemen grusha kemen chalutza. Veim daima lebal mum, nidu nenu kemal mum. Hischa Reb Akiva Lodum. So Reb Akiva started discussing and explaining why he holds that the case of a Baal Mum is more similar. He says like this, Mikveh Psule V'yochid. How do we know the Mikveh is possible? One aid is enough to establish that. Because Eidecha Nemen V'yisurim. Baal Mum Psule V'yochid. The same way, a Baal Mum, you need one aid is enough. One aid says that he's a Baal Mum, then that's it, he's a Baal Mum. So therefore, you have a similarity. Va'yichiach ben grusha ben chalutza shepsula b'shnayim. Don't try to prove for me from a ben grusha ben chalutza where you need two edim to establish that his mother was a grusha or a chalutza. This is where Rava is getting from, that you need two edim. And Rabbi Akiva says, Dover Acher, here is another point as well. Mikveh psula b'gufoy, the mikveh, the psula is in the body of the mikveh itself. The mikveh, by definition, has to have 40 saw, and now when it doesn't, then it's lacking something. Balmum psula b'gufoy, similarly, a balmum is also his psula is in his body itself. Va'al yechich ben grusho ben chalutza, shepsulay me'acherim. Don't prove from a ben grusho ben chalutza. How does he become psul? Because his mother was psul. So Rab Tarfin conceded, Omalei, Rab Tarfin, Akiva, kala purish mimcha, ke purish minachayim. Anybody who separates from you is like separating himself from life, meaning he's agreeing with Rab Akiva. After all, you're like the source of Torah, you're like the source of life in the world, and if anybody were to stay away from you, it's like they're separating themselves from life. So he conceded and agreed with Rab Akiva's din.
Time for a positive thing, finally.
Yeah, well, so now Rava says, again, let's consider, let's consider this braisa. Hey Fidomi, what's the scenario? If we're talking about that one, so hi Balmum be psule be yochid hey Fidomi, what's the scenario where you're saying that a Balmum can be passed by one aid? If the Koyan contradicts the one aid and he says, no, I'm not a Balmum, me Meheman, would we believe that one aid? No. Ella Bishosik. Obviously, we have to be talking about that he's being quiet. He say you the other guy is saying you're a Balmum and he doesn't answer back. Well, the parallel by Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza would also have to be on the face of it, where one aide is telling him your mother was a Grusha or a Chalutza, and he's not answering back. Vikatoni, yet we're saying, so you see over here, says Rava, that even though he's being quiet, one aide is not enough. So you, Abaya, are telling me one aide is good enough when he's not answering back, but you see over here, one aide is not good enough. You need two aides. So there you go, says Rava. So you see, therefore, that you need two edim even when he's being quiet.
So this is basically agreeing to Rabbi Akiva's...
So this is not... Well, everybody agrees with Rabbi Akiva. Now, the point is, Rava is using it as a proof that the same way, if one aide comes to a husband and tells him, your wife was Mizana, and therefore she's also to you, Rava is saying, you know, even if he's being quiet, that doesn't make her also to him. Or you need two edim, the same way as we're saying over here, that you need two edim to establish that this guy is a ben grusha or ben chalutza. The Abaya, so what does Abaya answer back to that? Actually, we are talking about, now you're assuming, says Abaya, Rava is assuming that we're talking about where he doesn't contradict him. Because if the one aid comes and says you're a balmum, and he says, no, I'm not a balmum, why should we believe that one aid? Abaya says not necessarily. You could be talking about the Kamat Kishle. He is, in fact, contradicting him and saying that I'm not a Balmum or saying that I'm not a Ben Grusha. So then you're going to ask, in that case, if it's one aid by a Balmum, why should we believe him? Because we can tell him, strip, and we'll check it out. In other words, it's something that we can easily find out whether it's the case. If he's a Balmum or not, yeah, it's something that we can easily find the case. So that would be a case.
That's if you're a boom, but not if you're a Ben Grusha.
No, that's the point. That's exactly the point. So therefore, in other words, why are we saying, why is Rabbi Akiva saying that Balmum psule b'yochid, whereas Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza psule b'shnayim? Because when it comes to the Balmum, it's something that we can find out right on the spot. So therefore, v'hainu d'katoni, says Abaya, that's what Rabbi Akiva means. Mikva psule b'gufoy or Balmum psule b'gufoy. That the balmum, the psul is in his body, and so is the mikveh. The al yichiach ben grusha ben chalutza psulim me'acherim. Whereas the ben grusha ben chalutza, it's based on somebody else. Meaning, not just that it's based on somebody else. The point is, it's not so easy to find out on the spot. Therefore, that is why you need two aidim. But if it's something that you're able to find out on the spot, then one aid would be believed. And Tosfos says, in fact, in that case, it would be even if one aid contradicts him, because why rely on the aid? Just check out what the actual situation is. Okay. So therefore, so Abaya says this proof of robbers is not necessarily a solid proof.
In other words, saying that you can't.
So you can't necessarily prove. Yeah, not that you can't say like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's din is a din as far as the Koyan who's claimed to be a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. But can you derive from that in every case of Davar Sheba'eruv you need two edim? Not necessarily. Okay, now we've mentioned this point that the Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, B'diyevet, his avoda is kosher. So let's discuss that point. So ben grusho ben chalutza d'avodas ksheira minolam. How indeed do we know that b'dieved ben grusho ben chalutza is a cholos avoda is kosher? And again, you have several different explanations among the rishonim. Do we mean that it's kosher even after he finds out that he's a cholol? According to the Rambam, yes. According to everybody else, no. Does it mean only maybe if he's a suffet cholol? Like that's what the Ramban says. Anyway, so how do we know this concept that there can be avoda that was done by a cholol, which nevertheless is kosher? So Omer of Yehuda, Omer Shmuel, the Omer Kra, the Pasuk says, by Pinchas, v'hoysaloy v'zarei achrav, the kohuna should be for him and for his children after him. And so we learn from the word zarei, because in other words, why does it say the word zarei? It should have said bonav or something like that. So therefore, that implies that ben zera kosher ben posel, ben zera posel, whether his children are kosher or posel, chalalim, so l'chatchila not, because sure, he's called a chalal, so that means he's desecrated from the kedusha of a kohen, but b'dieved, based on this word zaroi, then he could still have done the avodah. So that's one way of learning. The Meshech Chochma has a very interesting explanation on it. He says, you know, you have at the beginning of Parashas Pinchas, Shvatim Mevazin Oisar, the Shvatim are making fun of Pinchas and saying you're descended from Yisrael, Ben Shepusha Pitim Agolim. So therefore, the Torah is stressing over here. Doesn't matter that you think his ancestry is possible. I'm saying, Hashem says, I'm giving him the kohuna, even though maybe his ancestry is possible. So therefore, we can learn from that, but from the Zara. So therefore, we can learn in future generations also that the B'dieved Chol does the Avoda, then it's kosher. The Meshech Chochma says this. So that's one way. Avur de Shmuel Amar. Avur de Shmuel says Mechocha. You can learn from a different pasuk. Moshe says in his bracha to shave at Levi, Borech Hashem Cheloi. Hashem blesses Chel. The simple meaning of Cheloi means his wealth or his army, or foil yod of tirtza, and desire the work of his hands. So chelo, though, is also meloshen cholol. Afilu chulin shabay tirtza, even the chalolim among the koyanim, Hashem should accept their avoda, and therefore, but yeah, but it's kosher. Rabbi Yanai Oma Mehacha, Rabbi Yanai says here's a third source. The Pasuk says, by Bikurim, uvoser la koyan ashayir by Yom Mehem, you come to the koyan who was at that time. So what do you mean at that time? Chital al dait chashad mahalach it's a koyin shalay b'yamav. How else? A person can't go to the koyin who doesn't live in his time. Ela zeh kosher v'neschalo. Rather, the pasuk is implying a koyin who had until now a cheskas kashrus, and now it turned out that he's a cholol. So therefore, the Torah is saying that you can go to him and have him do the avodah for you, even though later on it turns out that he was a cholol, but at the time, by Yomim Ahim, at the time when you went to him, he still had a chazakah of a kohen kosher, and therefore the avodah he did at that time was kosher. And for example, with all of this that we're saying, the avodah is kosher, meaning let's say you were chayv achatas, and you brought it to the Bis Mikdash, and this kohen, who afterwards it turns out was a cholol, did the avodah, we're not going to say it was posel, and therefore you have to bring another. No, you were Yotze. So we learn from that. Okay, now we said in the Braisa Balmum Davidos Suleiman Olan. Now we said in Rabbi Akiva's and Rabbi Taifin's discussion, we also said that a Balmum, if you were to do the Avoida, even B'dieved, comes out it was Kupasel. So in our scenario, if you bring a Chatas and it turns out the Koyan who did your Chatas was a Balmum, you're going to have to bring another Chatas. So Manolan, where do we know that from? Why don't we say also Lazare Akhra? Omrav, you heard Omar Shmuel, Omakra, because the Pasuk says, also by Pinchas, Lachain Emor, therefore Hashem says to Moshe, say to Pinchas, Hinini noisim lois, brisi shalom. I'm giving him my bris of peace, but the word shalom, we can darshan, true shalom v'loi true chosu, only when he's complete and not chosu, not when he's lacking something. The Gemara says, what do you mean? Well, shalom, the fact that it says shalom, not shalom. Amar Rav Nachman, vav de shalom k'tiyeh. So Rav Nachman answers, because the vav of the word shalom is cut off. There are different explanations among the Rishonim and Achronim what exactly it means cut off. In our Sifrei Torah, in practice, what we have, so Marsha explains over here that it means it's actually written as though it was a yud. And therefore he says the Gemara is darshaning, so it's as if it said shlim, shin lamed yud mem, which is actually the Aramaic translation of tomim. When the Pasuk says about a korban and about a korban that they have to be tomim, the Aramaic translation of Targum Onkelos translates it as shlim. So here we're darshaning like that. On the other hand, different mefoshim talk about different sifrei halacha talk about how exactly should this letter be written to be ktiyah. Lamaisa, the way we do it in our sifrei Torah is you have it's written with a shorter than normal leg, and then like next to it, like a hair's breadth away from it, is another piece to complete the leg of the vav. So it's kind of like instead of every letter is supposed to be one, every letter, not really a question mark, but really more like a as if you had, like as if you were to take as if you like you were to make a scratch through the middle of the leg of the vav. So you have like part of it above it and part of it below it. That's how it is. So in practice, if you look in a Sefer Torah and Parashat Pinchas, you'll find that it's something vaguely like that. Yeah. So there.
And the reason is because.
And the reason is we're saying over here that we're darshaning. So therefore, since it says shalom ptia, since the letter is broken, therefore we darshan from that as if it said shalom, or as Marshal says, as if it says shlim, which means complete. So from that we learn that the koyin has to be tamim, and even b'dievet, if he were to be a balmum, then l'mafreya, all the avoid he did is possible. As opposed to with a ben grusha, ben chalotza, where we said we have three different psukim from which we learn that b'dievet is avoid is kosher.